I'm Lisa Marie Pepe, and I'm a guest today on the Women in Podcasting show.
Welcome to the Women in Podcasting show. Enjoy inspiring stories, interesting interviews, and powerful strategies from women around the world. Jennifer Hensel spotlights today's top podcasters, new podcasters, and expert guests. Get tips for leveling up your life, gaining visibility, growing your business, monetizing your podcast, and so much more. We invite you to support women in finding their voice and sharing their passion. It's all about women empowering women.
Have you with me today, Lisa Marie. And I just want to let everybody know a little bit about you. I want to introduce you before we get going. So you are the confidence coach and online visibility expert for passionate and purpose-driven entrepreneurs, a certified consulting hypnotist, and I heard your services are getting really popular on that. Good for you. And a five-time number one international best-selling author and co-creator of the Art of Unlearning anthology series, Mindset Mastery for Entrepreneurs, and a motivational speaker and podcast host of The Resiliency Factor with Lisa Marie. Now, the part that I was so surprised about, because you and I have known each other for a few years now, and I'm just so thrilled to connect with you. You and I both have a very community-focused, reciprocal, you know, really sharing and compassionate and helpful with each other. And I was so shocked to see you were also trained at the graduate level in both education and clinical psychology. Wow, look at you. And you're an experienced social media manager. So let me just let everybody know a little bit more. Lisa Marie empowers her clients to fully embrace their unique gifts and talents by providing them with the skills they need to develop rock solid confidence, become vibrantly visible online, and transform their wisdom into wealth. She has been featured in Forbes, Huntington Post, Thrive Global, YFS, and several other noteworthy publications. Lisa, I am so thrilled to have you with me today.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be with you and to finally be speaking, because as you've said, we have been supporting each other. And it's just amazing to me how you can feel connected, but then it's a totally different, I think, ballgame when you're actually speaking to the person face to face. So it's great to be here.
It feels like we're friends, like we're good friends.
We've absolutely
been connecting for years, right?
And supporting each other, yes.
Yeah. So okay, so Lisa, let the audience know your amazing story. I want you to share your story today.
There are so many stories, but the one for me that I believe has been the most significant, I will say, the most significant moment of my life where I really changed my whole life around, began back in 2011. I had had an automobile accident, and at the time, I was actually working as a licensed massage therapist. And I know you were just reading through my bio, and I have been a person who's done many things. I've gotten certified in different things, but this came at the end of my career in mental health and education. I pursued massage therapy, and I loved it. And I was driving home one evening, and I was struck on the driver's side. And the truck that hit me was going probably, 70, 80 miles an hour, because it was on the highway, and just kept going. And at that time, we're talking 10 years ago, I was under the impression and under the mindset that if I didn't see blood or any broken bones, I was okay. And so the state police arrived, and I didn't see any visible signs of trauma. And so I went about my business. We had my car repaired, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then I woke up the very next day and I could barely move my neck and my shoulder. So, of course, I went to the doctor, started physical therapy. I was told that I had a cervical sprain and that everything would be okay in time, and that I needed to be out of work for a couple of weeks. And believe it or not, even at that time in my life, them telling me to take a 2-week break from work was enough to cause me anxiety, because I hadn't learned how to be with myself. I didn't know what to do with white space. I didn't know what to do without the absence of stimuli coming at me in every which way. I was somebody who was used to going, doing, being. I loved working out. I would run, I would hike. And now here they were telling me, for 2 weeks, you're going to stay at home and you're going to sit on the couch. And, you know, that's how you're going to get better. So it was really difficult for me to even deal with that. So you can imagine where I was in my own mind at that time in my life. Long story short, I did take time off from work, and then I continued physical therapy and I tried to go back to work, except the very first time I tried, I had a shooting pain radiate from the tips of my left finger all the way into my neck. It felt like, I can't describe it. It felt like an electrical, current, right? That just kind of zapped right through my arm. And it actually scared me a little bit. And I was in a lot of pain. And now here I am in the middle of a massage, and I'm like, okay, just get through this. Just get through this. You can do this. You can handle this later. Just get through it. So I get through the massage, and now I'm in tears. I'm like sobbing because my neck is hurting. I was having really bad spasms in my neck and in my shoulder. I tell my boss, she says, hey, listen, no problem. Go back home and relax. So again, here I am. I go back home again and I relax. I continue doing what the doctors are asking me to do, except I'm not getting any better. My neck and my shoulder became increasingly more painful with each day. So I was supposed to be getting better and I was actually getting worse. So finally, it came to a point where I was forced to resign from my position as a massage therapist because I could not do the work. But even leading up to that, I had tried to go back a few times, and I started to develop really severe panic attacks on the way to work because I was anticipating, what if I'm in pain? What if this happens in the middle of a massage? What if I don't do a good job? I mean, every fear, every worst possible case scenario was flooding into my brain, and I would get to work and my heart would be racing, my mind would be racing, and it was just bad all around. So I chose to resign, except I didn't know what else to do with myself. And what started off as, okay, you'll get back into it, you'll find something, you have your education behind you. You can go back into a professional setting in education or psychology or whatever it is. But instead, depression took over and panic disorder took over. And feelings of worthlessness took over. And so I went from 2011 feeling like I was really in a good place in my life. Personally, physically, I was in great shape, to all of a sudden 2012, 2013. And I literally became a shell of myself. I became more withdrawn. I stopped really having fun. I stopped dressing up. I stopped doing all the things that would indicate I was feeling good about myself. And I took these horrible, horrible jobs where I was paid minimum wage and forced to work, you know, weekends, holidays, late nights, no health insurance, no time off. These were not positions that I had even like any remote interest in. But because my own perception of myself was so negative at that time in my life, I didn't believe that there was anything else for me. And so I've often reflected back on that. And I have so much respect for people who do those kinds of jobs, the telemarketers, you know, the people who are cleaning our, you know, facilities on, you know, public in public spaces, because I did all those jobs. And here I was with two master's degrees, but I had no self-esteem, didn't even think about pursuing anything that would be worth my while, that I could actually, you know, earn a decent living at. And then I got fired from a telemarketing job. And I remember on the way home feeling like I was the world's biggest failure. And I was berating myself on the way home. I was speaking all kinds of negative stuff to myself. You're so worthless. You're pathetic. How could you get fired from telemarketing? Like, who gets fired from telemarketing? And on and on and on, this internal barrage of insults just hurling at myself. I want to add in that the entire time my shoulder was still bothering me, and I was fighting against the medical community simply because the man that hit me filed bankruptcy. And so we had gone after his insurance. We had gone through my insurance, which is something we do here. We have the underinsured motorist coverage, and they would not authorize another MRI. So here I was telling people every day, my shoulder feels like it's going to fall off my body. It kept subluxing every day. I was in constant pain, but not being treated for it at all. So here I am. I get fired. I feel worthless. I'm crying. The depression's bad. The anxiety's bad. What do? I kind of pick myself up by the bootstraps and I go get another job, but just a job. It wasn't a career. It wasn't a passion. It wasn't anything that would light me up. I wound up working for a gym and being a front desk service person. Again, not the worst job in the world, but not where I'm destined to be. And here's where the story gets incredibly interesting. So it's the year 2013 now. I've been working at this gym for a couple of years. And I'm in the bathroom one night and I'm cleaning the ladies' bathroom because as a front desk associate, that's part of my job duty. It's to go into the restrooms and make sure they're clean. So there I was, and in comes this really lovely lady, this really nice woman that I had been talking with. She was a member of the gym and I was still very friendly towards people, right? I'm a people person, even though I didn't feel good about myself. I was always very kind to others. And I'm bent over, I'm taking the trash out of the bins. And she says to me, "Lisa, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure. What's going on?" She said to me, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Emptying trash." And this time I looked up and she said, "No." She goes, "What are you really doing?" I said, "Cleaning the bathroom." I was like, "I don't know what you're trying to get at." Like, and I think I was being a bit facetious. And I said, "You want to pitch in? Like, here's an extra pair of gloves, you know, kind of thing." And the third time our eyes locked and she said to me, "I don't mean what are you doing right now?" She said, "I mean, what are you doing with your life?" And I was like, I was stunned, like deer in the headlights, stunned, because that is a soul breaking, you know, moment, right? Where the person, this woman, had so much courage to say that to me because she knew who I was. I had talked with her over the years. We had just gotten to know each other. She knew I had a passion for helping people. So she goes on to say to me, as I'm standing there like deer in the headlights, she says to me, "Why on earth," and these are her words, not mine, "why on earth are you here doing a job that, quite frankly, a kid without a high school diploma could do, making minimum wage, working crappy hours, working holidays? I bet you have no health insurance. You probably don't have any personal time or anything like that, no benefits. She said to me, why are you here? Why are you wasting your life? And she went on to say, and you're so gifted. You don't belong here. You belong out there. And it took me a minute to really like take this in. You have to understand that for the 3 years prior to that moment, I was living in victim mode. I was living in Pityville. I was creating my external environment to match my internal thought process and my internal perception of myself. So here comes this woman and says, listen, what are you doing? Right? And I can tell you this, on the way home that day, that conversation with myself was very, very different from the conversation I had had just a year and a half previous after I was fired from being a telemarketer. And I knew that I needed to change. I knew that it was no longer an option because if I didn't change in that moment, I probably would have gotten stuck and stayed stuck. And in that moment, I dedicated myself and promised myself that I would pull myself out of this and I would get the support and the help that I needed. I would go back into a professional workplace where I could use my skills, where I could use my education. And that's what I did in a matter of a few months. I literally flipped. I did a 180. And within 3 months, I was handing in my resignation and I'd already been offered 3 teaching jobs. I did go ahead and take one, except because the shoulder was still a problem. Now that I get this teaching position, so we're going into 2014. I get this great teaching position. I'm feeling excited about life. I'm feeling good again. I'm feeling confident again. And then I have the MRI, which my doctor calls back and says, hey, by the way, you're not crazy. Your labrum is torn in your shoulder. This is why you're having pain every day. Okay, great. Didn't feel like I was crazy anymore. But at the same time, now I knew I needed to have surgery. I had never had surgery. So in my head, I thought, a little shoulder surgery. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Again, me underestimating how long it takes to heal, how long it takes to reacclimate to a new way of functioning when you can't use one limb. And so while I was home and recovering, I realized that there was so much more to my life and that I had a much bigger purpose that up until that moment, I wasn't able to see. And so I remember clearly I was sitting on my bed. It was cold. It was raining. I live in New England, winter day. And I remember saying to God, just show me where you want me to go. Because I'm getting this pull that I'm supposed to be motivating and inspiring and helping. I just don't know exactly how to do that. And within a few days, there I was online researching, you know, life coaching, how to start an online business. And I did have every intention to go back to work as a teacher, but it turns out that God had another plan. And so here I am.
Wow. What a story. What a transformational moment when that, not a stranger, you knew her, but another person who was brave enough to challenge you. That is so amazing. And I know you and I, you know, try to do that in life. You know, our mission and purpose, we have similar in that we want to motivate others and encourage them and help them have their transformational moments. So what are some of the tips or steps you could help our listeners with today?
Yes, absolutely. So the thing that I discovered for myself, and this is why I do the work that I do, is that you have to be willing to get honest with yourself. And it's not enough just to get honest. You have to be willing to forgive yourself for any mistakes you've made, for all of the little imperfections in your life. And then you have to take responsibility for yourself, because no one is going to save you. Even that moment for me where the woman showed me what I was doing, she wasn't there to save me. She can't and could not have done the work for me. And so I always tell clients, I always tell people whenever I'm speaking to them, you have to really dig deep. You have to understand, why are you feeling the way that you're feeling? What is it that you're holding on to? What trauma, what event, what, you know, incident, what activity, what happened that broke your soul? What happened that damaged your inner child? Where is that coming from? Because I've always said this, we can't heal what we're not willing to acknowledge. And so again, using myself as that example, I, in that moment, was my ideal client. I was ready, but I needed a little pushing. And to anybody listening, if you feel like you are literally going through the dark night of the soul, and I have been through many, you have to keep going, because your only other alternative is to stay stuck in it. And even being stuck in that awful space can become comfortable. It's the fear of not knowing, well, what's going to happen when I do change? And I had all those fears, but I knew that on the other side of the fear was where I was supposed to be. And so for anybody listening, I don't want you to think that I'm saying this is like easy peasy. You can just wake up one day and decide, that's it. I'm just going to be a better person today. But it starts with that, right? And the journey will take you as long as you need it to take you. But you're not in a race. You're not, you know, running against anybody else. But at the same time, recognize that life is very precious. It's short. We never know when our time is up. And so I want people to acknowledge for themselves that they are so beautiful and so worthy of everything good in the world. And I think that's just where, that's what, it just lights me up when women recognize their true self-worth, which has nothing to do with a dollar amount, by the way. It's when women can actually look in the mirror and say to themselves, you know, I really like you. And sure, I love you, but I really like you. Because everybody talks about self-love, and it's all important, right? Self-love is great. But being your own best friend and truly liking yourself, I think, is where the magic happens. And so for anybody who feels stuck, you have to just keep going. You have to keep going, because there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, that's so amazing. So inspiring. You have so much wisdom to share, you know? And so what are some of the steps you took to break through and get unstuck?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. So one of the very first steps was I consulted with a naturopath physician, because I needed to change a lot of things in my life, primarily my sleeping schedule. I was going to bed at 3 a.m. I was waking up at 11 a.m. I knew that if I was going to transition back into a traditional job setting, I was going to have to be in at 7 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. or whatever it was. And that terrified me. So I went to a naturopath and I said, look, can you help me regulate my sleep cycle? Great. That's what we worked on. I hired a professional resume writer because I needed someone to bring together all my educational experience and work experience, and then this dip right in the middle where I basically fell off the face of the earth and didn't do anything. And then how did he, you know, tie that in and show that I could be a competent teacher? I also hired a therapist. Had I known more about life coaches, maybe I would have hired a life coach at that time, but I didn't know that much about it. So I hired a therapist and I worked with the therapist. And then I committed, and I even wrote a letter to myself. It was like a declaration to myself. These are the things we're going to focus on every day. And part of that included time for devotion to God, time to pray, time to meditate, and time for positive I am statements. And I literally reprogrammed my mind by over and over and over and over saying 8 different affirmations to myself every day for the first 40 minutes of my day. And here's how I paired it. I'm someone who loves to exercise, and even with my neck and shoulder problems that are still currently here, I work out every morning on the elliptical rider. I had this genius idea that I was going to write all my positive affirmations on these big post-it notes and stick them right on the wall in front of me. Here I am 6 years later, working out every morning on the elliptical rider, saying the affirmations one after the next, after the next, after the next, 30 to 40 minutes every single morning. And I honestly believe that is how I reprogrammed my mind. Because the last self-deprecating thought that I could think of was probably back in 2014.
Wow. Wow. Powerful. And affirmations are so, so powerful. We have on the Inspired Influencer site, if you go to free downloads, we have 300 positive affirmations for your life and business, because they are so powerful. I did the same thing. Part of my transformational journey too was putting affirmations on the mirror.
There you go.
So no more negative thoughts. When you look in the mirror, you say the affirmations the second something tries to come up, right? And it made a huge difference.
Yes, so, it really does.
Yeah. So what brought you then into the online world? Because I know you're just amazing online and you're such a collaborator, and it's so wonderful. I can tell you, just as another person out there, it's so wonderful to connect with you. It's pleasant, you know, it's you're a very giving and helpful and acknowledging type person. So what brought you online and to move your business online?
Great question. So when I decided in this moment, it was the winter of 2014, and I was still recovering from the surgery, I started doing a lot of research. And what I did was I created a Facebook fan page. Now, again, this was back, 8 years ago, seven years ago. So this was not exactly popular at the time. You know, Facebook has grown so much, Instagram, all these things. But what I did do was I found a lot of joy in creating very positive quote images. I love quotes. I would spend time on Pinterest. I would spend time, you know. And so I developed a page and I called it Lisa Marie Pepe's Page of Positivity. I had to get it all in there, you know. And I posted every day. I went in and created a quote with some pretty imagery or whatever. And it's funny, I've actually looked at my original posts. And then, you know, you look at how you've evolved and your skill set evolves. And I got so much positive feedback from it. And this was before Facebook Live, before you could get on and do a live stream. But people were responding. And what I recognized was that people needed to see good things. People needed to hear positive words. And so that for me sort of planted the seed that this comes natural to me to be positive, to be someone who can really speak life into someone who's really feeling lost. And I it just happened. I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I did all the initial steps. I set up the website and I got the domain and I got the email, you know, all the stuff. Now, of course, I've learned, you know, 1,000 different things I should have done differently and all of that. But what stuck was, oh my goodness, I can connect with people all over the world with the tap of a button. And it fascinated me, just fascinated me. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, because I did start off with health coaching, but very quickly went into more confidence coaching. And then the visibility expertise came in because I'm one of those people that if a new feature comes out on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is, I'm going to play with it. I'm like, okay, push the button and we'll see what happens. I don't go and search on YouTube or Google, or I just push the button and I'm like, okay, see if this works. It's all like one big experiment. So I didn't realize that I was creating my own SOP in essence, right? I didn't even know, because I was just doing these things on my phone. I would post to Instagram and then it would post to Twitter and then I would get feedback over here. And so as I transitioned more and more and started working with female entrepreneurs, helping them with their confidence, the visibility piece came out because I was asked, how am I doing what I'm doing? They would say to me, I don't understand, like you kind of just came on the scene, but you're everywhere. That's what I would hear. And they would say, how are you everywhere? And I thought, that's a really good question. Just trial and error right now. And then I had someone ask me, well, can you teach me? And I said, I guess, yeah. I said, just give me a little time, you know, and I will pull together something where you can follow it every day. And from there, it's just, everything just keeps evolving and I'm open and I'm receptive and I love challenging myself in ways that are to my benefit, in the sense that if I study this particular thing and then I get certified to teach it or certified to do it, I know that I'm not only helping myself, but I am helping other people. I'm helping individuals to overcome whatever it is that they're struggling with in the moment.
Oh, wow. We have so much in common in our journeys to this point. It's amazing. No wonder we resonate with each other so well. It's so Absolutely. Incredible. So then now I know you're an advocate like I am for Yes. raising women's voices. And so I want to know how you got to the point of doing your podcast, and just give us a little description of your podcast and what that's all about and how people can find that.
Sure. So, okay, podcast. So I decided at the beginning of last year that during the pandemic, I wanted to start interviewing amazing entrepreneurs all around the planet. I had just come home from a mastermind event in person with John Lee Dumas and Kate Erickson. It was at their home. Selena Sue was there. A bunch of amazing, incredible, awesome people were there. And I came home with this renewed sense of, like, I belong here. Right. And I think every entrepreneur kind of goes through that, where they're trying to figure out, are they the legitimate, or are they kind of being an imposter? And I came home from that event and I felt so amazing. I just felt so filled up. And I felt like these people who I looked up to were looking at me like, hey, you're just one of us. Like, we're all here. We're all doing the same thing. And I came home and I thought, this is great. Like, I want to do more of this. And I talked to John Lee about about his podcast. And so 2020 was a very tumultuous year. I lost my mom very suddenly in February of 2020.
Oh no. So sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. That was probably the biggest for me, the most difficult thing I've gone through. However, I've handled it the best way possible. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that just shows how much I've grown as a person. But not to digress, but So 2020, I had a lot of time. I had a lot of thoughts. I had a lot of emotion. I had just about everything going on in the world, everything that had just happened with my own family. And I thought, you know, life is short. I want to do this. I want to feature people. I want to bring more inspiration and motivation and positivity into the world. And it was just one more avenue to do that. So I took a podcasting course and then I created the Resiliency Factor. And quite literally, I interview the most resilient and amazing entrepreneurs all around the world. And that is the underlying theme is all about getting back up every time you get knocked down.
Oh, so amazing. And it's a great show. It's a great show. So all these links for your website and your podcast we'll put in the show notes. But I also want to let people know what you're up to now. So can you let us know what's happening?
Absolutely. So now I am really excited about this because, as you were saying earlier, I am certified as a consulting hypnotist. And I started practicing about a year ago. I took a two-year private mentorship. And I have a current mastermind that is going that combines both individual hypnosis along with group business coaching. So people are getting the best of both worlds. We're taking care of the mind and we're taking care of the business. But in addition to that, because that's already ongoing, I've just created, I'm so excited about it. It's going to be a 6-week mindset reset boot camp where I'm going to be working with female entrepreneurs who have a fear of showing up in the online space, right? The fear of going live, the fear of talking, the fear of putting the post out there. And we are going to work together in private hypnosis. And simultaneously, there will be group meditations and then group hot seat coaching as well to help women overcome any fears that are just holding them back from showing up confidently in the online space.
Perfect timing too, with the whole world going through a reset. What an amazing thing. So how can people find that? Should we put the link in the show notes?
Yes, we should put the link in the show notes. But if anyone is interested, I strongly encourage you simply send me a friend request on Facebook and shoot me a DM and just mention that you heard me talking about the Mindset Reset Bootcamp here on the show. And I'll be happy to go over everything with you because we haven't started yet. And we are now accepting applicants into the program.
That sounds so amazing. Thanks. So Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story with such vulnerability and just, you know, and how you got unstuck. I mean, that's the real thing. There's a lot of people, start their podcasts or their business from a huge life transformation. And some people get stuck in their story. So this is a real inspiring story and an encouragement for those who might be feeling stuck, not knowing what to do, you know, if they hear this story. You could really help them break through. So thank you so much for sharing so openly and for being here with us today.
You're so welcome. And thank you. It's really been an honor to be on your show.
You can find all the links for today's episode in our show notes at womeninpodcasting.show. That's www.womeninpodcasting.show. That will take you to the right page of our website. And while you're there, click on free downloads in the menu to find all of our gifts, including the one I mentioned today, which is called 300 Positive Affirmations for Your Life and Business. If you're interested in joining our Women in Podcasting VIP Club community, go to womeninpodcasting.club. That's womeninpodcasting.club. Our membership is for podcasters and expert guests, and for a small monthly fee, you'll be supporting this podcast, and in exchange, we'll provide you with a wealth of resources to help you start, grow, and monetize your message. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jennifer Hensel with the Women in Podcasting Show.